cell phone, for which you'll be very sorry for. In case you're wondering, my name's David, and I'm not quite sure. I do what I'm told here, is the short answer, as you've already seen, because I'm standing at the back, a bit oblivious to what was going on at the front, and all of a sudden, somebody said to me, "Get down the front!" That's where I am. And today we've got what we call a free topic Sunday. And I think I've said this before, free topics are difficult because it's a bit like having a box of chocolates offered in front of you, you know, and they say, pick your favourite. You know, well, you know, when you've got the Bible, you've got the whole Bible, you know, you'll pick anything. We've just done a series on post-resurrection appearances by Jesus, and next week we're going to start a new series on Jesus himself, which is really exciting, and I think you're really going to benefit from that. But because they couldn't work out what to put on this Sunday, they thought, we'll give it to David, right? And he can just do what he likes, right? Well, I'm not going to do what I like, because I'm going to tell you why we're going to look at this passage. I'm going to ask Rod to read it in a minute. Rod, are you still there? Yes, right. Right, Rod's going to come up and read it, though we've lost the mic. No, they've got a mic here. Right, Rod's going to come and read it in a minute. But Janet's my wife, in case you didn't know, we were having a quiet time together, and we were reading, not last week, the week before, from the wonderful book of Leviticus. Right? You wake up in the morning and think, great, quiet time together, we're reading from Leviticus, great, yeah, really excited. Yes, right, and it was all about sacrifice. And, you know, real sort of blood and guts and everything like that. And then, Rod, would you like to come up? This is the big build-up. He likes the big build-up. Have you got a Bible? Have you got it? Oh, you've got it? Oh, piece of paper these days. Not a Bible. Right. Oh, you're going to read that. You're going to pick that one up. Switch it on. The Bible passage that we referred back to was Romans chapter 12, and in particular verses 1 and 2. But Rod's going to read up to verse 13. Right, so let's listen to those words again. Thanks, Rob.
Wow, what an intro. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Dear brothers and sisters. Now, normally we would like anyone that we know to come to church, wouldn't we? And I'm just having a look around. I'm kind of hoping that there aren't any of my students here, because the beginning in this translation of Romans 12 is not quite the King's English, because it begins with not just one but two conjunctions. So, but there is a reason for it, and
he's
I don't know whether David. Yeah, well, there's a reason for it, because at this beginning he's referring back to all he's been teaching the Christians at Rome in the previous 11 chapters. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality.
Thanks, Rod. And you all remember the significance of verse 12. Oh dear. Oh dear, dear, dear. Thank you, Mike. That was Mike, wasn't it? I can't see him. No, you're there. Right, that's our verse of the year. If you haven't got it on a magnet, there are still some out in the vestibule. But I don't want to concentrate really on verse 12 because it was those two. There's an awful lot in those verses. We could spend the rest of the day here just going through and unpacking that. And I'm just gonna skim the surface really of verses 1 and 2. And I don't know what you're doing in life group this week. I hope you're doing something. I hope you're going to open the Bible because it's a fantastic book and it can teach us lots of things. And I know our life group are going to look at this passage on Thursday. I think another life group is looking at it as well. But it's just good to read it and think, what does that mean? You know, sometimes when you get a little child coming up to you and they ask you a question, you know, and then you explain it to them as eloquently and as nicely as possible, and they stand there and say, but why? You know, and you feel like, I want to strangle you because you don't understand and I've tried the best to make you understand, but you don't understand. And sometimes we need to ask questions. And the thing that struck me when I read this passage with Janet for just over a week ago was this phrase, bearing in mind that we just read Leviticus, that we're called to be a living sacrifice. Because most of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament times involved death. So how can you be living if you're dead? Do you know what I mean? It just didn't make sense. In a logical, simple mind like I've got. It just didn't make sense. What does it actually mean to live sacrificially? I was talking over with Richard earlier in the week, and he said, does it mean that we all jump onto the altar and offer our bodies as sacrifices? It doesn't mean that. Don't come and jump on the table and think we've got to, you know, that's not what it means. But it means living sacrificially. How can you live and die? Paul writes something very interesting in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, where he says this, for me, living means living for Christ and dying is even better. Now you really need to think about that and to begin to unpack it. You know, some people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament were so caught up with their lives, as we are today, that living was more important Tithel. Yeah, the rich young ruler, when he was challenged to sacrifice everything he had and come and follow Jesus, he went away with a heavy heart. You know, how ready are we to give that up? And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking that we need to live every moment of our lives as if it is going to be the last. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We had two emails the other day. One was from a distant relative to tell us that a distant cousin had died. And within another hour or so, another email came through to say that a friend of a lady who Janet was in hospital with, having our first child, at the same time she was having a baby, her husband just dropped dead. For no reason whatsoever. And we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And are we ready? You know, if you come to our house about 6 o'clock on Thursday evening, it's panic. Because that is when we have our life group. Our life group is lovely. I can see some of them sitting here. Right? They are a lovely life group. But of course, the life group's coming. Tidy up. You do the hoovering. You do that. Get that chair from there and everything like this. And it all has to be ready so it's pristine. And the cake is there on the table for them. You know, and that's what it is. But we need to be ready. I can always remember meeting with three sons whose, I can't remember, it's the mother or father who died. And we came in and we were in one of the sons' houses and his wife was making tea for us. And because she thought somebody really important was coming, like the vicar, she'd made this lovely cake as well. So she brought, you know, and of course the tea comes out in cups and saucers. Who uses cups and saucers nowadays, you see? You stand in there and you've got that. And then she brought the cake in. And she realised that I got nowhere to put my cup and saucer. So what did she do? She got a nest of tables. You know, a nest of tables like that, right? And, you know, it was all sort of nice and clean. And she pulled out the one underneath. And there was a thick layer of dust on it. And she shriveled up, you know, with embarrassment. And, of course, I don't think that the three guys blinked an eye. They didn't know what was going on. They were concentrating on other things. And we just sort of laughed it off. But it's being ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And this challenge to be holy. We're not holy. You ever looked in a mirror? We're not holy. But God is holy. And if we want to go into God's presence, we've got to meet with him. And we can talk about, but the blood's been shed for us. We're clean and we're washed. But we need to be coming to him in a way that is open and a way that he can receive us. But it also means that our relationships are important as well. And our relationships with one another are important. It talks about loving one another. Do you love everybody? Are there some people that get on your nerves? Apart from me, that is. Yeah? Some people rub us up the wrong way, don't they? I can always remember being at a minister's farewell. And he stood up and said this. And I've used it on different occasions. He stood up. He'd been minister of this church for some years, and he was well loved, and he was well loved. He was a fantastic preacher, really godly man. All right, and he said, "I thank you that you've always loved me, even if you haven't always liked me." And there are times when people get up my nose, And I'm sure there are times when people get your noses. But we are called to love everybody. You know, and if you've got a problem with somebody, a difficulty with somebody, don't let it fester around. Don't get it sorted out. When you look at all, you know, one of the sad things about yesterday was Harry. You know, and you were looking to see, where's Harry? You know, and yes, we don't know what's gone on. We don't know all the facts. We can only read what's been said. And we don't know whether it's true or not. We can watch The Crown. Is that true? Is that how it happened? Or are they just making it up? We don't know. But at the end of the day, you've got a family that's torn apart. What's the only way for that family to come back together again? Is to come back and sit down and talk about it. How's the war between Russia and Ukraine going to end? Well, it could end in several different ways, but the best way for it to end is when two people or two groups of people get down and sit and talk about the issues and the problems and come together again in love. But just two more things to say about these verses. The other is that it says in verse 2, he says, don't copy the world. Don't copy the world. There's a great push at this moment to conform with the things of the world. You know? How many of you, and be honest, remember a children's television program called Grange Hill? Yes, there we go. Right, very good. If you're looking a bit blank, it's before your time. It's all right. You're fine, right? But they did a storyline on drugs within the school situation. Do you remember? And I think it was it a guy called Zamo? Was it? Thank you. Oh, we've got a good advert. Oh, did you fall in love with Zamo? What? You were?
She wasn't allowed to watch it.
Oh, dear. All right. Can't blame him. Right. but Samo got caught up in drugs, and they released a song about it.
No.
That's right. And well, yeah, there you go. But that's it. Just say no. I can remember sitting, I think it was a minister's meeting that was in, and one of the ministers was asked if he would do something, you see, and you thought, all good Christians, you know, and the Lord would say yes. And this minister said no. And I thought, woo! You know, he said no. You know, and sometimes it's right to say no. Don't copy the world. We are in this world, but we're not of the world. But lastly, he says at the end, and this came up at the minister's meeting as well, because somebody mentioned the word that we all struggle with. It begins with C and ends in an E. It's got an H, an A, and then a G in the middle. And it's called change. We don't like change, do we? We don't like change. But there's a song that we sing sometimes. Jesus is changing me, the work of the refiner's fire, to be as pure gold. And that's what he's doing. And if you look in the New Testament, look at the life of Peter. Peter was transformed because he denied Jesus. And then, later on, we read about him standing up in the middle of Jerusalem and telling all the people how wrong they'd been. And then finally, if we stick to tradition, we learn that he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to die the same death as his Lord and Master. Jesus is changing us. Now, when Richard spoke a couple of weeks ago, he got to the end and he said, that he had a tutor at Moorlands called Dotha Blackwood. And she was also my son-in-law's tutor when he was at Spurgeon's, because she went on, I think she's still lecturing at Spurgeon's as well. And she said, when you get to the end, you should say, so what? So we say, so what? So what? What does this have to do with me? Where are you in your walk with Jesus? You may not be on the path, but where are you with your walk with Jesus? If you're not even on the path, then that's a great challenge. And one thing I'd say, in about 8 or 9 weeks, he's smiling, right? In about 8 or 9 weeks, the baptistry is going to be open. And we will have here a baptismal service. Now, at the moment, there's only one person asked for baptism. But there's plenty of room. We've got plenty of time. If you think God has brought you to the point where he's challenging you to be baptized, then don't put it off. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. It may not be baptism, it may be something else. I had a wonderful story. I've got to be careful because I think the person's here, right? And I'm not going to mention any names. But somebody recounted this story, not to me, but to my wife. And I listen to what my wife tells me, you see. And that she'd started talking to somebody in a coffee shop and made a friendship. And then she started talking about Jesus. And then she invited her along to the church. Isn't that, if we know Jesus, we should be telling people about it. Somebody said to me, it was Margaret, I remember what Margaret tells me. She said, right, at the beginning of the service, that she'd been talking to people and they were asking her, why do people come to the Baptist church? Yeah? You know, and what do you say? And Margaret said to them, well, come along and find out. Come along and find out. Isn't that a great challenge? Now, we're going to finish with a wonderful song. Mike, can you put the refrain up? He's going to love me. No, yeah. I've heard you. I've forgotten the words. What's the refrain, Adam? I've heard you calling in the night. That bit. Can you put that up? Yes, that's it. Here, yes. Thank you, Mike. I love you, really. He loves me, really. I used to be his line manager, and I was picking on him. Right. This is the refrain to this song. Now, I'm going to say to you, this is very difficult to sing. Not because it's... Well, for me it is, because I can't sing. I can't sing a tune, right? But if you're really singing this, do you really mean it? If you're going to sing it, then please really mean it. Because these are tremendous words. So let's stand and sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.